This is the word of God found in Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I certainly appreciate what's gone before, how good it is. It's not distressing to think of myself as a babe when I can think of how faithful and mighty a father I have in heaven. You know, if I just thought of myself as a babe out by myself, or a babe with a father that didn't care much for him, that'd be a little disturbing, to be a little baby out on his own. But when you think of yourself as a babe and you've got a heavenly father that loves you more than you can conceive, then all of a sudden that becomes not a disturbing doctrine, it becomes a comforting truth. To me, that's one of the things that we are blessed to believe that is helpful to me, and I appreciate this message that's gone before. It seems like so many other groups, even I'm talking about good folks that love the Bible, the picture still is more that God is an employer more than a father. And I say that by meaning if you do the right work, then you will get the eternal reward. And sometimes people want to say belief is not a work. It's something else other than a work. But if the belief is a free will choice, it's a work. If you've ever labored for a company before, you know, there's some people that do the work of sweeping the factory floor. There's some folks that do the work of running a machine. There may be some folks that do the work of different kinds of maintenance. And then there's some folks that their work consists of sitting in a room and making a free will choice between we're going to hire this fella or we're going to hire that fella. We're going to contract with this vendor or we're going to contract with that vendor. We're going to invest in this piece of equipment. We're going to invest in that piece of equipment. Their whole job is to just make choices. And do we say, look here, you're not moving a broom or running a machine or fixing a pipe, so what you're doing is not work. We expect you to do it for free. No, those folks that just make choices and bear the responsibility for it are paid more than anybody. We call them executives. And so to claim that making a free will choice is not work is just not so. And so if you've got a doctrine that says the way someone gets eternal life is by performing a certain work, even the work of a free will choice, then what you've done is you've portrayed God more as an employer and yourself more as an employee. A work is done, a reward is bestowed. A work is not done, a reward is withheld. And let me tell you, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible, the relationship between Him and the redeemed, is not employer to employee. It is father to babe. It is one who loves His children with an everlasting love forever. He loves His adopted children so much, He gave His only begotten Son that they might live forever in His presence. What kind of love is this? It's the love of a father for a child. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching, and He says here, If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, think of your own role as a parent, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, I want you to be clear on this. That doesn't mean that someone asks for the Holy Spirit to regenerate them, and then they're regenerated. You know why? Prior to having the Holy Spirit in regeneration, nobody would ask the Heavenly Father anything. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But someone who can and does call on the name of the Lord is already saved unto eternal life. So you've got somebody that is saved calling on the name of the one who saved them in order to obtain additional salvation. So what is this about asking the Lord for the Holy Spirit? Well, this is someone who already has the Holy Spirit in regeneration, asking for something else that the Holy Spirit blesses them with. I want to give you an example in the lives of the disciples. Do you think when the Lord went down and said to the disciples that were mending their nets, James and John, follow me, and they left their nets and they followed Jesus Christ, do you think they were born again at that point? I do. Do you think when the Lord said unto Simon Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven, do you think Simon Peter was born again at that point? I do. When the Lord passed by the tables of the tax collectors and saw there Matthew, and he said, follow me, and Matthew got up from his tax collection table and followed Jesus Christ, do you think he was born again? I do, because someone that's not born again would not hear the voice of the Savior and get up and leave their livelihood and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But they did. Not only did they follow him when he bade them follow him, they followed him through 3.5 years of travel and hardship. And yet, do you know what he did when he rose from the dead? He had gone to the cross. He had paid for their sins. He was buried. The third day he rose again. He appeared to them. He met with them. And the scripture in John chapter 20 says, when he met with his disciples, he breathed upon them and said, receive ye what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, does that mean they'd been following him 3.5 years, not born again? And confessing him as the Christ, not born again, and it was not till he rose from the dead and breathed on them that they were born again? No. It's they believed on him because they had been born again, and when he rose from the dead, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost in such comfort. Here he is. You know, because at first when the women came and said he was risen again, they didn't believe the women. Says in Mark, he met with them and upbraided them for their hardness of heart because they believed not them which said he had risen from the dead. So here they're getting these reports. Here they're having these evidences and they're struggling with it. This is just beyond anything we've ever imagined here. He said that he would be crucified and buried and rise again the third day, but he was dead. And they're struggling with that. And so they're starting to see the evidence, and then he meets with them and breathes on them. Receive the Holy Ghost. And so not only does the Holy Spirit of God give life, spiritual life, life in Christ to God's children, the Holy Spirit gives comfort. But that's not the end of it. After they were comforted, he stayed with them 40 days, preaching and teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. And then at the end of that 40 days, he led them to the Mount of Olives. Can you imagine how nervous that trip was? Because they'd gone up the Mount of Olives when he was arrested. But now he's risen from the dead. They've received the Comforter. Here they're going along that same trail. I don't know. They might have passed through the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't know. But they went up the Mount of Olives after he rose again and been with them 40 days. And when he got to the top of the Mount of Olives before he ascended. He said, he instructed them before he left. He said, tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so they did. He ascended. That was 40 days after his resurrection. 10 days they met together in Jerusalem and tarried in Jerusalem and worshiped. And you know who was with them? Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, and his brothers, who before didn't believe in him. Now, they're changed men. His half-brothers are there with their mother, meeting with the disciples. And, you know, 10 days pass by and they get to what the Hebrews called the Feast of Weeks, with the Greek term that had come into being at that time. They called it Pentecost. And while they met on Pentecost, there something wonderful happened. They were in the room, and there came a sound of rushing mighty wind, and it looked like cloven tongues of flame upon their head. And do you know what was poured out upon them? The Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. How many times do you fellas need the Holy Ghost? Okay, you've been born again, you've been comforted, now you've been empowered. Just let me ask you, brothers and sisters, how many times do you need the Holy Spirit of God? I need His presence over and over every day if I'm going to do anything worthwhile. And so, it's one of those things you can ask for and receive. In the book of James, it says, we ask and we receive not, because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lusts. We sometimes just pray for things that we shouldn't pray for. I do. And here's some comfort for me. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 says, for we know not how to pray as we ought. Aren't you glad for that company? The Apostle Paul didn't know how to pray as he ought to, and the Holy Spirit had him write that down. He said, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Isn't that good? When I was 10 years old, I was a smart aleck. So you don't have to put that in past tense, Brother Marty. I was trouble. My parents were getting a little weary of me. And they asked some folks, and they said, well, he's probably bored. And my folks were not well off at that time. They scrimped and saved, and they sent me away to a boarding school in North Carolina, a special program. It was a good thing. I was excited about it. And 10 years old, I went off to live in a dormitory, and I had two other roommates, Lee and Gary, and they had their bunk beds on one side of the room. I had my twin bed, and we had our desk there. And one day we got talking, and I said, what do y'all pray for? And I think it was Gary said, well, I pray for my family, and I pray for health, and pray for that. And I said, I pray to be the greatest man in the world that ever was or ever will be. Now, and then he said, oh, yeah, 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 I pray for that too. You know, at 10 years old, I thought I knew what to pray for. Now, I don't pray to be the greatest man in the world. In fact, if I can be the least in the kingdom, I'm more than happy. I pray more to have not let the world have its mark on me, you know. But as I get older, I see that what Gary said, praying for his health, praying for his family, that's a lot more mature, better prayer. And we pray, and God answers our prayers. Sometimes He answers them, yes. The leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus Christ touched that leper. Think about that. Touched that leper and said, I will, be Thou clean. The answer to that prayer was yes. Sometimes the Lord answers, wait. Martha and Mary sent Jesus Christ a message saying, Lord, he whom Thou lovest is sick. And Lazarus was sick, and the Lord tarried where he was in place 2 days. By the time he arrived in Bethany where Martha and Mary was, Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days. But it was a wait. Then he raised him from the dead. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is just no. The Apostle Paul himself, as diligent a servant as he was, he had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure due to the abundance of revelation. And he prayed the Lord 3 times, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. And the Lord answered, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for in weakness art thou made strong. So the Lord answers us, and I hope I will learn to pray more prayers that are answered yes. And since I don't know how to pray as I ought, then I think of what the Bible teaches about prayer. I need to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I need to pray to the Heavenly Father. I need to pray through the Holy Spirit. I need to pray according to the will of the Lord. Well, how am I going to pray according to the will of the Lord unless I know what the will of the Lord is? And where am I going to find what the will of the Lord is? Right here. So think of 3 things. In fact, you may think of more things, but I just want to mention 3 before I sit down. Some things that the Lord has promised that if we request them, He'll give them to us. And this is the first. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Well, since needs to be born again already, what are you asking for? Do you need comfort? Ask for the Holy Spirit of God. Do you need strength as the disciples were empowered? Ask for the Holy Spirit of God. Do you need guidance? Ask for the Holy Spirit of God. Do you need light to shine on His Word while you're reading it? Ask for the Holy Spirit of God. Just ask, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, send me your Holy Spirit. And He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You know what else God will give if you ask? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Now remember, when you ask God for wisdom, the book of James also describes 2 kinds of wisdoms. One kind of wisdom is of the earth, earthly, sensual, devilish. It's the wisdom, the cleverness that one person uses to get around another. It's the kind of wisdom, I'm afraid, that the prince of this world may have too abundant of store. But the wisdom that comes from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. If that's what you want, if you lack wisdom, then ask it of the Father. Ask believing. Ask not double-minded. Ask believing that God would give you His wisdom, the pure wisdom that comes from above. And the Scripture says He gives liberally and He upbraids not. Sometimes people are afraid to ask questions because it seems like asking the question is going to make them seem stupid. You know, it's like, if I ask this, then they will know I didn't know that. And I'm going to feel stupid and they're going to upbraid me. And I think some people think this about God sometimes, that if you ask Him for wisdom, that He's going to say, well, you should have known that already. No, the Lord doesn't upbraid for that request. If you ask Him wisdom, He just gives it liberally. That doesn't mean He's a leftist politician. That means He gives wisdom generously, and He doesn't upbraid you. Last one, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What kind of prayer is that? That's a prayer of confession, isn't it? Not confessing to a priest, not confessing to a preacher, not confessing to a psychiatrist. This is confessing to the living God. Lord, here's part of every confession that needs to be made. God, You are right and I am wrong. Have mercy upon me and forgive me. And you know what the promise is there? If we confess our sins. And you know, when you're saying I'm wrong, you don't just say, I'm wrong, I made a mistake, this is an error. No, Lord, I'm wrong, this was a sin. It's just not sugarcoated. What I thought, what I said, what I did, it was a sin against thee. That's what David said in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned, Lord, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. What does that mean? Lord, I've sinned, my sin is against you, and Lord, I'm saying this so that when you speak whatever answer you gave me, we'll know that me saying I'm wrong, it means you're right. And so you're confessing that. And what if you do confess that? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. That means he comes through consistently. And when he does that, he doesn't abrogate or obviate his justice, because his justice was satisfied at the cross. He's not stepping down from his holiness or righteousness one little bit. And so he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not talking about getting ready for heaven. This is talking about making it through the day. But what a promise. You want to know prayers that God answers? Yes. Ask God for His Holy Spirit. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for forgiveness. And see how consistent He is. You know, a lot of folks think I can ask for wealth, I can ask for health, I can ask for prosperity, I can ask for acclaim, and you know, if I do it right, if I hold my head the right way and I give enough to the church, I'm going to get all those kind of things. Go read the book of Job. Didn't work out for him, did it? That kind of promise is a deception on God's children. Health and wealth, if you're just good enough. No, brothers and sisters. Look at the lives of God's children, and it was full of hardship. But when we look in the scriptures, we do see this. Because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's bought these things for us in advance. And He says, ask and ye shall receive. When we ask for God's Holy Spirit, when we ask for wisdom from above, when we ask for forgiveness, then it's been promised of God. And it's still something that has been earned for us by the Lord Jesus. God bless you.